Blackstone Audiobooks presents The 39 Steps by John Buchan. To Thomas Arthur Nelson, Lothian and Border Horse. My dear Tommy, you and I have long cherished an affection for that elementary type of tale which Americans call the dime novel, and which we know as the shocker, the romance where the incidents defy the probabilities and march just inside the borders of the possible. During an illness last winter, I exhausted my store of those aids to cheerfulness, and was driven to write one for myself. This little volume is the result, and I should like to put your name on it, in memory of our long friendship, in the days when the wildest fictions are so much less improbable than the facts. John Buchan. Chapter 1. The Man Who Died. I returned from the city about 3 o'clock on that May afternoon, pretty well disgusted with life. I'd been 3 months in the old country, and was fed up with it. If anyone had told me a year ago that I would have been feeling like that, I should have laughed at him. But there was the fact. The weather made me liverish, the talk of the ordinary Englishman made me sick, I couldn't get enough exercise, and the amusements of London seemed as flat as soda water that has been standing in the sun. Richard Hannay, I kept telling myself, you've got into the wrong ditch, my friend, and you better climb out. It made me bite my lips to think of the plans I'd been building up those last years in Bulawayo. I'd got my pile, not one of the big ones, but good enough for me, and I'd figured out all kinds of ways of enjoying myself. My father had brought me out from Scotland at the age of 6, and I had never been home since. So England was a sort of Arabian Nights to me, and I counted on stopping there for the rest of my days. But from the first, I was disappointed with it. In about a week, I was tired of seeing sights, and in less than a month, I'd had enough of restaurants and theatres and race meetings. I had no real pal to go about with, which probably explains things. Plenty of people invited me to their houses, but they didn't seem much interested in me. They would fling me a question or two about South Africa, and then get on with their own affairs. A lot of imperialist ladies asked me to tea to meet schoolmasters from New Zealand and editors from Vancouver, and that was the dismalest business of all. Here was I, 37 years old, sound in wind and limb, with enough money to have a good time, yawning my head off all day. I'd just about settled to clear out and get back to the veld, for I was the best...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?